I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots. We've made it all the way to episode number 4 of the Top 40 Countdown. And this one is a repeat guest in the top 10, in case you're wondering. From a few episodes back when I said the top 10 included 8 of my favorite people, this is part of the reason why. It's Dana Moon. This was the 50th episode extravaganza, and I can't even believe how much time has gone since then, how many episodes there have been, how many fun interviews there have been. But it brings me so much joy that you guys love my conversations with Dana. They are always a favorite point for me in terms of the podcast. That's why I'll literally have her on to just, you know that I love a topic and I generally have a hard rule about you can't come on my fucking podcast if you don't have something to talk about. And that rule does not apply to Dana because we always have a great time. This was no exception. So I'm going to shut the fuck up. Oh, by the way, you already heard the other episode if you've just been listening as they've come out. And fucking classic dad move Dana Moon does the same bit at the beginning of this podcast. And I told her about it. And I'm pretty sure it's just a bit she does on podcast, which is what a fucking dork. Anyways, love her. Love you guys. Enjoy this episode. Episode number 4 of the top 40. Oh my God, the next are the top 3 episodes. 50th episode extravaganza with a Dana Moon.
Hey, idiots. Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed. I'm Dana Moon, your host. I'm your guest host. I've taken over the podcast and I've taken over Jessica Michelle's body and life and soul. And
help
a little bit
me.
Of witchcraft goes a long way, you
help
guys.
Me.
People judge me for going to Joshua Tree and performing in these seances. And I just have to say, it really pays off. And you guys, thank you so much for supporting me and my number one comedy album on iTunes and all things my tiny butthole, shoving carrots up my butthole.
I did that once. It made a great bit. Did I lodge a piece of carrot permanently in my anal cavity? Possibly. But you know what? I'm an artist.
The person you're hearing is
Satan.
Jessica Michelle Singleton.
I'm my own guest because it's the 50th episode.
Happy 50th.
I'm 50. We did it. I'm 50.
I'm 50.
I'm Sally O'Malley and I'm 50 years old.
And I can do high kicks and I'm thriving.
I kick and I punch and I kick.
And I dance and I twerk.
And I'm 50.
50.
I love Molly Shannon.
I love her so much. I saw her eating in a restaurant. And
Great story.
Wait, it gets better. It gets better. Here's where... And I stared. And then she noticed me staring. Hold on, wait, it gets better. It gets better, wait.
And then she called the police.
And then I walked away. And that's the story.
Wow. Celebrity encounters. They're real, you guys.
Yes, they are.
And Dana doesn't just stare at men with biceps, it turns out.
I know. I really just want facial hair and a bicep.
Just like a bicep with a face you can carry around.
I want a bicep.
You want to fuck a bicep.
With facial hair on it. So just a hairy bicep. I shove it up my vagina.
Your huge lippy
my
vagina.
My huge cavernous
hole.
And look.
Her Picasso pussy.
You guys.
Picasso.
It's art.
It's a Picasso.
Okay, so thank you for joining me on my 50th podcast episode. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me back, Dana.
You're one of
thank
my
you for
favorite
doing
guests.
I love you. You are one of my people really love you.
People love me, and I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure it
out. I don't either. I frankly think you're terrible.
The worst. I set up, so we're in my apartment, and I set up a whole, like, I have like crystals. And it's very spiritual. It's very Janelle.
We've set up a podcast area, Janelle Waters.
Janelle Waters. I'm becoming the spiritual healer character that I do, and I think I just have to go with it.
I think you do too.
Yeah.
Because everyone likes Janelle better.
Everyone likes Janelle
guys,
way better than
she's
me.
She's literally like, should I set up a podcast area in my apartment? And then she just put down a rug and threw a bunch of rocks on it. And she's like, ta-da!
What if I start calling this a podcast studio? And I start renting it out to people.
Live from the Beverly Studios in Central Los Angeles.
I know a couple that has a studio in their house and they make a fortune.
Oh my God. That's a good
They have
idea.
A whole entire room that's like soundproof and it's
really?
All set up. And I think
why don't you just do that to your whole apartment and then have people come in and then you just stare at them? This is a studio. Also, I live here.
I mean, it's a literal studio. I literally do live in a studio. Yeah.
That's so funny. Can you please do that?
and I only have people come in when
I'm
like
sleeping.
Can we
start our own network? It'll be Studio Apartment Studios.
Studio Apartment Studios.
On the Studio Moon Apartment single. Network.
Or would it be Single Moon or would it be Moon Single?
I like Single Moon.
Single
just
Moon.
Just because it's like one moon, but...
Single Moon.
Is that our studio?
Single Moonton.
Oh, No Dad Production Studio.
Yeah, we have... What about our production studio? Our
production company?
Yeah.
No
what
Dad
happened?
Productions.
No Dad I mean, Productions.
We're poor and we can't produce anything.
But we're going to,
but
you
we're
guys.
Going to. Should
Stay
we start
tuned.
A podcast network called No Dad?
I want to start a podcast with you that's the Naked Podcast where we...
Are just naked talking?
Yeah. And so it's kind of a play off like how vulnerable can we be being in the most vulnerable state, nudity.
Yeah. And then it's like, what happens if I fart on your podcast studio floor and it's accidentally a shark and then I shit in your home on the floor?
Well, that's on brand, to be honest.
That is kind of on brand.
It's very on brand.
Or it's like, I'm not like shitting my pants all the time, but like surprise shits. The other day I hit a speed bump.
Wait, do you have pants on? You're sitting on a pillow that I sleep on right now.
No, I'm wearing a Barbie onesie, bathing suit.
Please don't fart. I put my face on that.
Well,
I just got a vagina shot.
My pussy's on it now. Okay. So well, you're welcome. Take in the sense of earth. I have a very earthy pussy.
Notes of floral and dirt.
Yeah. Wait, you should. Yeah.
And
aren't
spice?
You a, what's it called?
I'm a sommelier.
You
sommelier.
Should. I wish you were a lesbian and you could go down on pussies and then
do tasting notes.
And do tasting notes.
Oh my God. That's a funny sketch.
Yeah. We're like,
nobody do it.
That's ours. We can't have it.
Don't you think sometimes you come up with like ideas on podcasts and then you totally forget about them and you're like, what if someone's listening and they're just like, okay, that's
I'm
a funny.
Do that. And they actually produce it and you're like, wait, but no.
Did you see Trainwreck?
Yes.
The part where she's like washing her vagina in the sink. Was
wait. What?
Amy Schumer.
I don't remember that.
The movie Trainwreck.
But that reminds me of.
The Oscar story, the doctor, when I had the smelly vagina and I was washing my vagina in a
sink. In a sink, yeah.
And I did the smell check and it was...
I feel like we've all done that, though.
We've all done
that. That's why it's relatable.
Okay, fine.
I have washed my pussy in a sink. I don't tell people about it because I'm not a fucking slob. Well, now you know.
Yeah, but it's...
The secret's out.
I want to know if that she really did that.
I mean, here's what I like to do is... when men who I think are in relationships and they're lying about it want to hook up, I don't say no. I hook up with them, but first I go out dancing and I make my pussy really like sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I refuse to wash it. And then I'm like, eat my pussy.
Yeah.
And
she did it to
me. And I'm alone. I have not had sex in so long.
When's the last time you had sex?
It's been a few weeks. I say so long.
Weeks?
It's been a few weeks. Yeah. I think I had sex with a guy. I had sex with some guy in New York. Like... A month or two ago. I don't know.
Is this a guy that I know?
I don't... Did I tell you about a guy?
Yeah.
Oh, probably.
How was it?
It was fine. I was horny, so it was like...
It was fine? That means it was awful.
I mean...
I'm trying to holler at this dude right now in New York, and he's like...
Here's the thing is, like, I thought it was good, and then I realized that, like... Yeah, no. It wasn't that good. But...
Ugh, I'm sorry.
But, you know, when you were just, like, really want sex...
Yes.
And so you're like, yes. And then I don't know. I'm also, I think I'm about to hit my period. So I'm at that like really horny before your period.
Oh, I hate that.
Feeling
I
where.
I hate that. It like everything in your body hurts.
It's scary because it's scary, I feel at moments like this, I feel I could potentially have sex with someone who I wouldn't normally
have sex
with.
Across from you.
Yeah, because I'm not going to have sex with you, Dana. For the 100th time, I'm not having sex with you.
I feel like if we tried it once.
I feel like you're being a little Harvey Weinstein-y here. I'm in your home.
Doot, doot, doot.
Get your fingers
doot,
away from my vagina. Doot, doot, doot. Stop it. Quit poking with your weird, long,
Give
alien
me a little
fingers.
Lip, lip.
Stay away doot, from doot. My tucked-in lips.
Doot, doot, doot.
My blips.
Blip, blip. Blip, blip. What if a guy was trying to hook up with you and he was doing like baby talk?
Honestly, I'm so small. I'm surprised I haven't run into a man who does that to me.
Let me get a little bit.
I'm not kidding. Okay, I was having sex with this guy who is like.
Did you hook up with the guy you went on a date with?
No.
Okay, continue your story. We'll get back to that.
Can we
say his name or no?
No. Oh, let's not say his name. No.
Oh, I know. You're right. Damn it. Okay, fine.
Maybe in a Patreon episode one day. No, but he was really nice. He just, that guy was really small. He was like my height.
Okay, I said that as he was walking out right next to a guy friend of ours who's also small. And then I go, oh God, shit. What am I saying?
Yeah, but that guy friend of ours who was sitting next to you is like almost half a foot taller than me is how small I am.
You guys were walking out and
we look like siblings, I feel like.
I didn't realize how small he was because you guys were sitting down.
Yeah. Because you were like, he's so hot.
He's so hot.
He's very good looking.
And you guys looked like you were getting along. You looked like you were enjoying yourself. And then when he got up and left, I was like, oh my God, they're the same height.
Yeah.
You guys are the same height.
Yeah.
Or he was 1 inch taller, maybe?
Maybe 1 inch taller. And for those who know, you're like laughing like a mean bully.
I'm sorry.
I'm just.
Oh, that's so mean. No, I can't stop laughing. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. I don't even have a height thing. I just don't think I've ever encountered an adult man who was my size.
I don't have a height thing at all. I mean, I think my last boyfriend was shorter than me.
When I dated Sandro, he's like only a couple inches taller than me.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
Short guys also.
It's so weird to name your exes on podcasts. Yeah,
whatever. They have better biceps. They have smaller
biceps.
Because
they're biceps. Smaller arm.
So whenever they work out more, their biceps get bigger. If you're tall and have long arms.
It's hard to make things big. Yeah. Yes. Long, lengthy things, it's hard to bulk.
Have better bodies.
When you were like, he's hot, 100% I was like, she definitely saw his biceps. Because I was like, this guy has biceps.
Oh my God.
That's the thing is, he's small, but I'm like, he could for sure pick me up. Yeah. But
wait, so you're not interested?
I don't know. It's just like I sort of like feeling smaller next to guys.
You can say that you like that. That's fine.
Yeah, I know, but I feel shallow saying that.
I go for guys because they're muscles. I mean, who is the shallow person?
Oh.
I'm the most, you're talking to the most shallow person when it comes to dating in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I've dated psychopaths just because they've looked like Heath Ledger. Like, do you understand?
Wait, you've dated men because they look like Heath Ledger?
There's one
guy. I feel like what you want to do is date yourself.
What? Am I Heath Ledger?
No.
Hold on. You think I want to date myself?
I mean, if you're dating men who just because they look like Heath Ledger, I feel like you could be a, like, female Heath Ledger.
You think I'm so narcissistic.
Only in this moment when you said you've dated guys they look like Heath Ledger, and I feel like you could be Heath Ledgery, but like right when he's like Jokery.
Ooh, crazy.
And then
I don't know why R.I.P. am I so attracted to fucking psychos. Like, they're so hot to me.
I don't know.
Like, I'm like, ooh, like, rolling the dice. Like, am I going to live tonight?
Because they're
or not?
Emotionally unavailable.
But it's like there's something that's like you don't know what they're going to do next that like, keeps you on your toes. It's exciting.
They're like, he's so spontaneous. He's chopping you up. Oh, you're so spontaneous. He puts you in a blender. I noticed that, like, I like a little bit psychopathic. I like guys who are very, like, if a guy talks dirty to me, yeah. As you're like cracking your neck. Like,
yeah. How hard did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. One time I was fucking this guy and he pulled my hair. He's fucking me from behind and he pulled my hair so hard. My neck was like, and I
ooh,
was
got some kinks
so
out.
Turned on. Oh, yeah. I was like, I could have died. And I like came instantly. With dirty talk, I realized the thing I'm into, which I didn't know until it happened, which is most of the things I'm into. I'm like, oh, great. Like, they're seeing the things that I'm like, God help me if anyone accidentally shits on me because I don't want to find out that I'm like, I really liked it.
You're into peeing.
I'm not. No, this guy was talking.
By the way, I had all of this down as notes of what we're going to talk about.
Peeing?
Yeah.
I told a guy I like dirty talk, so like gave him a heads up. It was a guy I was dating. And he talked dirty to me, but he enunciated perfectly. Ooh. It was like this perfect, it was like a psychopathic, like, Patrick Bateman, white guy, perfect enunciation,
hot,
perfect sounding vowels, your perfect pussy.
I'm scared now.
Take my perfect cock.
No, I'm scared.
And I was like, oh no, I really like it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I hate that I liked it, but I did.
My thing is like, and I've been thinking about, how do you separate being so dirty and like gross and disgusting in bed together?
And then being loving?
And then being like silly and like loving and like jokey.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Because it's so polar opposite.
It really is. But I think, maybe this is just hopeful. I like to believe that that's what true love is that you find someone.
That is true love.
That you can be all facets of yourself. Like, you don't always have to be this one thing that you think they want. They love you when you're being a piece of shit or when you're being an angel or when you're just, I don't know. I feel like true love is finding someone who likes all the parts of you.
Yeah.
And they get it. Because I can be really sweet and loving, but I can also be dirty. But when you're dirty with someone, then you're like, is it okay for me to also be sweet? And vice versa. If someone sees you as like, my love, my darling, my angel. And then you're like, call me a slut.
Yeah,
Fucking slut.
How do you separate the two? You're like, you called me a perfect princess, and now you're calling me a hooker ass bitch hoe. in bed. I don't
Did
know.
Somebody call you a hooker ass bitch hoe? Take that dick, you hooker ass bitch hoe. Wait, oh, this is what I was saying.
I would kind of like that. Let me know when you want me to ask the questions.
I will. We just like talk about whatever and then throws in at the end if they don't come up organically or whatever.
Sure.
We're getting to your questions, you guys. Don't worry.
We're getting to the questions.
But it's Dana and I wanted us to have a fun convo.
Conversation.
Wait, I fucked this guy who is very large. Not
an in charge,
but he was Charles in Charge, the actor who played Charles in Charge. I had sex with him and it was great.
Was his body large? His penis was large.
His penis was fine. His penis.
Wait, so
looking
like,
at his body, you would have thought his penis relatively would be a little bit
was
bigger.
Like the 300 pounder.
But no,
400
he was just
pounder?
A big dude. He was like a mid 6 feet type of guy.
Okay.
Just big dude, not fat, but like built, large person, not fat, but not like thin, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't like bodybuilder ripped, but he was fine. Whatever.
Had to like climb up.
Well, we were hanging out.
Had to climb up him to get on it.
Well, yeah. And I was like, I feel like I said the phrase, I feel like I'm almost small enough while he's having sex with me, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why I said this during sex. Maybe it wasn't during sex. It must have been before. I was like, I feel like I'm almost small enough to be a fetish. And he was like, almost. And I was like,
uh-oh.
Oh, no, I'm here because you want to maybe fuck kids.
Oh, my God. I was. Isn't it? That's the same with guys who are into Asians. Like white guys who are specifically into Asians.
You mean it's Jews?
Like, it's like that's a fetish.
Jewish men. Yeah, no.
Like in their.
I dated a guy who.
It makes me question. It's like, why are you always going for like these the small,
such
subservient.
A specific.
Right? Because I feel like they're very
passive personalities.
And it's also like
they're looking for a stereotype of an Asian personality where it's a, like subservient. Yes. It's because they want someone who will just listen to them and do what they say. And they want to be the king of their castle. And just be told like, you're so great.
I was given dating advice, by the way. I kind of do want to talk about this also on my podcast. By my guy friend. Because I asked him for it. I was like, what, like, how do, and he's like, you obsess.
Do I know what guy friend this is? Do I know him?
Oh, my friend John Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, you obsess. He's like, you need to stop thinking and caring so much about dating. He goes, stop talking about it on podcasts, which it's funny that I'm talking about this right now.
Honestly.
He's like, stop tweeting about it. I don't really do dating stuff on stage anymore because like single, not dating, single stuff.
But like single ladies.
I don't do that. I'm so bored of it. I feel like it's been done too much.
You're over it.
I'm over it. I've moved on. But, you know, I'll have tweets, whatever. Or
there's
like,
nothing wrong with that. You are a single woman.
And I'll talk about like stuff on podcasts. And he's like, find a hobby, distract yourself. He's like, date, but like, don't think about it. And I really like that advice.
Oh, because you think about dating all the time.
Even if I don't even know how to explain it because it's not like I'm like, you know, a dick hound. I'm just out, you know, trolling all the time and looking to
Do you
like,
go on a lot of dates?
No, but like I think
of dating.
Yeah. I think of like finding the person and blah, blah, blah. And so now I'm just kind of like switching my mentality to like distract myself and not. But look,
put it
into
your work. Yeah, like, well, focusing on.
I obsess over everything in my life. I obsess over money. I obsess over career.
You're obsessive.
Yes.
You have an obsessive personality.
And that's.
So do I.
I'm intense.
I'm compulsive too sometimes.
By the way, I never realized this about myself until recently. Because people are like, you're very intense. And I was like, am I? As I'm like staring them down.
You
with,
didn't
like,
know
crazy
that you're intense.
Daggers.
You have crazy eyes.
I have crazy eyes.
Yeah. You're like, terrifying.
Honestly,
I'm
only
still friends with you because I feel bullied. By your existence.
And that's how you keep them, you guys. That's how you keep
just
your friends.
Eyes wide open. Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is for people to... I have multiple friends who are so obsessed with finding, like, the one, when am I going to meet my person? And it's like, you can't be looking for it.
No.
And that's shitty advice, but it's like, that's when you settle. Because you're like, is this the one? Is this the one? And lately, I think of dating in terms of, should I be caring more? I think about dating and relationships all the time, but
yeah,
not...
But I don't want to waste my time. That's the thing.
But not in terms of wanting it anymore.
I go back and forth of like, I don't know. I don't understand how my brain works with it because I know that I want career more than anything over that.
Do but you? Or does career just seem closer so it's easier to say you want it?
Yeah, it's both. It's Correct. Both. Career seems more like obtainable.
How can you do both? I literally don't know.
I don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Ugh. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how to do one.
I know that when it comes to dating, I don't want to date somebody just to like fuck around. It's like, yeah, if I'm going to date somebody,
if I'm going to invest my time in you, I want it to be of good investment.
And to know that, like, not to know because you never know anything, but to have that feeling like, oh, maybe this could eventually go somewhere.
Yeah.
Because if
you don't want it to be for nothing.
Because if it's not, then it's like, I'm not even going to, why am I hanging out with somebody that I don't see myself with later on?
Why and hanging not out to, with
like,
me?
Jump the gun. I mean, we're dying together. Let's be real.
Well, that's the thing.
Me and you forever. Remember when we were on mushrooms and we saw all of the lives we had together?
Yeah. It was amazing.
That.
When did you do mushrooms again?
I did a little bit of mushrooms in Disneyland. By the way, I think
you bitch. I feel personally assaulted that you do mushrooms with other people. I want you to know that.
You do mushrooms with other people too.
Yeah, because you did them with other people and then I felt attacked.
We've done them twice together. Or once. Twice.
Twice? Just once.
Just once? Why do I think we did them twice?
Did we do them twice?
The first time we did them was like probably one of the best experiences of my life.
Oh no, it was so beautiful. It changed me.
Changed me to my core.
Yeah.
And
it made me believe. I don't know in what, but like it just feels like I should say I believe.
It just made me realize, I don't even know how to explain. It made me realize my connection to everything in the world.
That we're all connected. And all we need is love.
Love, sweet love. We looked into each other's eyes, and at the same time, we saw how many lives flashed? How many people were we?
I literally was like, you're every woman I've ever known. It was crazy. And I could see half of your face, and the other half of your face was turning into literally every woman I've ever known in all of my lifetimes. It was the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. And isn't it weird that the exact same time that happened to me too, and we were like, holy fuck, we've been here so many times and had so many experiences together.
It's crazy.
But that's also,
and you still can't figure it out.
I know. What the fuck?
I'm here teaching you in my underwear. Yet again.
But this is what we can place into our lives, I think, with career and love.
Everything else, yeah.
It's like what's meant to happen will happen because, like, we obviously came together again.
Everything unfolds.
And it's inevitable. Here's we just have thing. To allow it and stop, like, trying to force it because your purpose...
Well, it comes to you.
Yeah.
When it's time.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. Now that I'm thinking about that, because I remember that. I've read and listened to all these stories about, like, past life regression and how sometimes you run into your soulmate and sometimes you don't. Or soulmates. Or yada, yada, yada. When I do shrooms, I feel this, like, insane connection to the sky in a way that makes me feel like my soulmate's not here. Because I've never felt... Like, the feeling that people describe when they go home is the closest I can... When people are like, I feel at home. Or, like, when you see those videos of, like, soldiers coming home and, like, their family is, like... in like, the emotion that invokes in the family with their... Like, that is the feeling I get when I do shrooms and I look out at the sky. It's like I miss something so much. So...
That's your home.
Yeah, it's like my home is somewhere else and it's calling to me.
Mm-hmm.
But also I realize that I'm here, so there's a reason for me to be here. But knowing that, I think, gave me some sort of comfort in not being so stressed about love. Because it's like, what a bummer if this lifetime you don't get to meet your soulmate, or if the person who is your soulmate is here and their soul's not at a place to be meeting yours this time.
Mm-hmm.
But like the knowing.
But friends are soulmates.
I think so too. Like, I think you and I are soulmates.
Exactly. And I think that...
You blinked. Do you not think we're soulmates?
I 1,000% think we are soulmates. But I think we have a ton of other soulmates.
Oh, for sure. I don't think...
As well as every... You know, a
do
lot
you
of
think that there's a like a true love? Do you think that we have one soulmate that's like our deep, deep love? Or do you think that like in different iterations and different lifetimes that can be different people within your circle of soulmates?
I heard a term or read a term called a wound mate.
Wound?
Wound mate.
Not womb. Like wound, like wound, wounded.
Like
we were traumatized together in a war.
Like you
with Joan of Arc,
you get together with somebody in a romantic way and you guys hurt each other or bring up hurt that's within you.
Yeah.
So it comes to the surface and then you work through it.
Oh,
and
it's
then
like you heal your wounds together.
But then separate. Right.
I think, yeah. Well, I think that goes into the whole
I think a lot of
reasons she's in Lifetime.
Like yeah.
Where people, oh, that's, I mean, this is full circle back to you saying, what if I'm, if I don't see this potentially going to be a thing forever, why am I wasting my time? But it's like, we focus too much, I think, on what is this going to be? And you go, is this going to be a thing? And it's like, well, why aren't, it's a thing right now. He's standing in front of you. Why don't you just be in the thing right now?
And also you learn so much about yourself.
He or she, I guess.
But yeah. You learn a lot about yourself when you put yourself out there in those situations.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of people are afraid to do, but.
So even if it doesn't last and you're like, I wasted my time. Cause I go, I do that. I'm like, I feel like I wasted my time, but then I always look back and I'm like, okay, that was a huge lesson.
Yes. I learned so much from the moments where I'm like,
yeah,
that's my initial reaction always at a breakup. It's like, you took a year of my life or you took this much time from me.
Well, that's how I feel even with like toxic friendships.
Yes.
That's how I feel. And I'm like, okay, like
you've
I need
sucked my time.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, like my most valuable years of my 20s. And I was just fucking around and you know.
Yeah. But the 20s are when you fuck around and you try to figure out who you are. And then the 30s is when you're like, oh shit, I think I know who I am.
We go into sound baths.
I don't know.
And hot yoga.
We're going to talk about doing shrooms and how I'm connected to the stars. I've probably lost half of my audience because they're like, I thought she was an intellectual.
Remember when we were talking about
I would say I'm skeptically spiritual. Wait, which vagina stuff? Earlier?
I just think it's funny that we're talking about this and then earlier we were just talking about vaginas.
I think that I honestly think it speaks to the human condition and how we're...
I mean, they're my favorite things to talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just... We're all so many things, and I hate that. I think in LA and maybe in the entertainment industry more, there's this habit of trying to, maybe it's just a human thing, actually. You're trying to put people in a box, and it's like, you're this, and that's all you are. And it's like,
exactly.
No, I can be a delicate, beautiful woman, and I can also sometimes be like, I don't think I wiped all the poop off of my butt. Excuse me. I will be right back.
By the way, the podcast episode you did where you told that story.
Of making a boo-boo.
I still get so many messages and tweets. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, like, I've literally been tagged in none of them and nobody has called me brave. So frankly, I'm a little upset about it.
It's one of the episodes that's like highlighted when anyone goes to my...
Oh, it's one of the best episodes?
Yeah.
Like most played?
Yeah.
I'm so honored to think that me and my careening butthole... Is careening the right word?
I don't even know. I've even heard of the
it's
word
like an
careening.
Open
shaft?
You open the floodgates and then the dam breaks.
Why is shaft such a gross word?
I don't know.
Anyways, everybody do mushrooms. Moral of the story is if you haven't done mushrooms, if you're in a very negative place, don't do it.
No.
You have to be ready.
Have you done them alone? Somebody suggested to me, my friend who's done a ton of drugs.
I've microdosed alone.
He was like, you should lock yourself in a dark room.
What?
He said dark. He's like, let's
Jesus.
Go. He thinks I should go deep into my subconscious. And like,
I don't know if this guy knows what he's talking about.
I don't know. He seems real.
I don't think my mushrooms are working anymore because I bought them a year and a half ago and I microdosed in Disneyland and it worked. It kicked in for like 10 minutes and then
I'm just microdosing. You're not supposed to trip if you're microdosing. That's not what microdosing is.
Also doing them with a group of a lot of people is
too much. Or do you like it?
No, it's overwhelming.
No,
I just kept staring at trees going like, I want to be inside of that.
I want to be in that tree. I never want to do it in a group setting. The fact that you did them in Disney is like,
well, it was really fun going through Space Mountain or Splash Mountain.
Oh.
And there was like all these like rabbits that were like, dun, 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 like singing and dancing. And I was just like, I love them. I love the rabbits.
Okay. So here's my, if I'm ever going to be financially successful, I hope I'm so financially successful.
Okay. Change that.
When I'm financially successful.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I want to have like, if I'm going to have enough, if I'm going to have, when I have a lot of money.
When?
I want it to be so much money that I can shut down Disney for a day just for me and my friends and then do mushrooms there.
Okay. So there's also a thing.
We can have crazy dreams, right?
Yes. That's already done. We're putting it out there on this podcast.
33 Club?
Into the world. There we go. It's already done. But also another thing I think that's cool. Yours is way cool. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but.
No, yours is cool.
My friend Ariel told me that if you work for Warner Brothers, I think it's Warner Brothers or Disney. If you're on a TV show with any affiliation with the network, anytime you go to Disney, you get an escort, like security, and they follow you to the ride, walk you to the front.
So you just go boom, 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 ride, ride, ride,
ride,
ride. You're
just going to do all the rides?
You cut every single line, like food.
I have never been motivated to be a television actor until this moment, yeah. And now I'm finally ready to have a part of ABC Family.
Yours is way better. I mean, no, shutting down the whole
mine's
park.
Mine's way more unrealistic is what it is. Also, fun fact, my abusive ex-boyfriend got married at Disney. You guys, he was an abusive monster. I'm not kidding. He got married at the Tower of Terror.
That is so funny.
So funny. What a horrifying.
Oh my God. I saw people.
Should that be a bit?
Getting engagement photos at Disney. Look, I don't want to make fun of anybody for what they like, but I can't help but be like, what happened to you as a child? Oh. That you're dressed up as Minnie Mouse and he's Mickey Mouse and you're taking engagement photos.
See, the only thing I have wrong with that is the Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse. But like, put me on Main Street. Are you kidding? Those cute little houses.
That's cute. Yes.
I mean, but I also have, like, I have severe arrested development. Like if I had a mansion, I would have a room full of dolls.
No.
Not like Lisa's grandma, but like.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
But I'd have it painted like pink, like Barbies. No, maybe I wouldn't anymore.
Oh.
I used to think I would. And now I'm like, no, I don't want stuff. I don't want a mansion.
I don't understand. Like, look, Disney was cool. It was my first time going. It was really fun. The lines were crazy.
That was your first time?
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that. I wanted to go with you.
It was like a last minute thing. My friend had like a ticket and her sister couldn't go. And I was like, okay, sure. Why not? And
she ditched me. And now we're doing this podcast later because of her actions.
Bitch, you were going to have somebody else take over your podcast forever.
I know. Forever.
Because I'm taking it over forever. I don't know how much I love Disney, and I feel like people are going to look. It's fun. It's very fun.
Did you watch Disney movies growing up?
Yes, but okay. I just feel like I'm an adult. Do you know what I mean? Like,
what does that mean? Tell me what that means. Do you feel like you actually don't like it, or do you feel like you, as an adult, you're not allowed to like it because that's like corny?
Here's what I don't like about it. The lines. I mean, I went on three rides. We waited in line for food. That was like, the food was okay and really overpriced.
Did you get a corn dog?
I don't eat meat anymore.
I'm a vegan too. And now I just realized I can never have a corn dog from Disneyland again. And I'm honestly hurt.
I had a pineapple ice thing. That was really good.
Those corn dogs were so good. I miss them. R.I.P.
But I think I honestly really liked California Adventure.
California Adventureland's great.
I think, but
we should go to Disney World and like, we should just have a bunch of money, go do a week at Disney World in Orlando and go to Epcot where it's every country and go drinking around the world.
Let's do it.
That. And then I want to take you to, you don't like Harry Potter, do you? You don't care about Harry Potter.
I can fuck with Harry Potter.
Harry Potter World in Universal Studios Orlando is the fucking coolest place ever. Well, I haven't been here.
Okay. So here's the reason theme parks remind me. We did a lot of theme parks. We went to Kennywood in Pennsylvania with my family.
Kennywood.
And
Hershey,
some of like the best
adventure squirts or whatever.
Hershey Squirt Adventureland. Yeah. Some of the best memories that I have with my dad's side of the family and my dad are going to Kennywood, and like his whole, this is going to get so dark, but his whole family is like dead. Like most of his family.
Maybe that's why you don't like amusement parks.
So I think it reminds me of,
it's like
of family memories of family that's not here anymore. And I'm like,
so it's that like happy memory, like wrapped in a sad wrapping paper.
Exactly. And my mom, screamed at my sister and I, and when we were really little, because we went on a water ride and she didn't bring a change of clothes for us, and my dad and all my cousins were like, let's do this. We got soaking wet and it was like dark, and my mom like was so mad.
Oh God.
And like threw me like towards the what are those things in the bathroom, the
hair dryer,
yeah, the where you dry your hands. And she was like screaming at us.
Oh God.
And we're like little kids, we had no idea what was going on. We were just like,
we just went on a ride.
We just went on a ride. And she's like, your father.
Your goddamn father.
And that's when I realized, I was like, I don't think I want to be a mom.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I'm cut off. Oh yeah. No, my mom made sure that I never wanted to be a mom, yeah, by just simply existing. It's actually pretty impressive.
I'm going to move to questions.
Seems so difficult. Yeah. We're moving to the questions, you guys. Now that we've talked about so many weird things.
So let's read the text messages that you sent me.
Don't
text from JMS.
Was it about how you want to date a magician?
I love you so much. I think of your vagina and your anus hole every day and every night.
This is not true. These are text messages she recently sent to a magician she has never met.
A magician in Australia. What's wrong with me? Sexting with a magician is not a good idea.
No.
Okay. Or is it?
It's like, did he ghost on me or did he just do an act where he disappears? You're sexting with a magician who's not even in this side of the world? Wait, why is he in Australia? Does he live there?
He's on tour. Okay,
you guys. He's never coming back. He's a touring magician. If you don't think he's out there just fucking a bunch of fat ladies who go to magician shows, magic shows, what are they called?
Magician shows. I know, the first thing he says to me, he's like, I don't fuck fans. And I was like, I think you do, because like, why was that?
You're like, I didn't bring that up. Yeah.
Why would that be?
You're like, why do you think I'd be sitting here thinking a bunch of fans want to fuck a magician unless you said, like, why would you say that? Because I don't think of myself as someone who would go to a magic show and be like, oh my God, I'm going to fuck that magic man.
Also, it's like everyone who's there, I feel like, is a couple. It's like a husband and a wife.
Yeah, it's a family activity.
So, yeah, okay.
You're like, oh, you mean you don't have threesomes with middle-aged couples who brought their kids to your show so you could see your dumb card tricks? Please, Magic Castle, can I come in? I miss you.
I know, wait, we have to go to Magic Castle.
Yeah, do you have an in?
Well, I'm trying to sext my way in.
Dana, you don't have to fuck your way into the Magic Castle. We're going to be successful. We'll just get in there.
Okay, number one question. Who would you rather have sex with? Luke Skywalker or Han Solo?
Princess Leia. 1,000%.
Well,
and Yoda, because he reminds me of, he's my size, you know? So it's like, let's go back to that. I want to have sex with men my size.
You wouldn't have sex with me, but you have sex with Princess Leia. I can do my hair like hers.
Yeah, but can you do your personality like hers?
Okay, moving forward.
Han Solo, but only because it's, but only in his youth. When Harrison Ford was like young and hot. Oh, like Harrison Ford in the 70s? Are you kidding?
Harrison Ford can still get it.
Yeah, but he probably can't get it up.
True.
And he probably has that wrinkly old man butt. Oh.
I mean, when the lights are off, can't really.
Yeah, we're all wrinkly in the dark.
Okay, do you think you'll ever be able to forgive your father? Oh, well, this just took a turn.
That's a really deep question.
Did you eat? Oh, wait. Oh, there's two. This is a two-part question.
Oh.
Would you want the first or second part?
Let's go with the second part.
Did you eat stinkheads when you lived in Alaska? I don't know. What's a stinkhead?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's some sort of fish term. I will say I fucked a few stinkheads, as I affectionately call all of my ex-lovers in Alaska.
I would never eat anything that starts with stink.
Yeah, no, I never.
And with head.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. I feel like stinkhead is probably something people called me behind my back in middle school.
Should I look it up?
Maybe you should look it up. We'll keep talking. Let's see. My high school, all the men in Alaska, by the way, are large. Like everyone's,
and by men, you mean everybody.
Yeah. Well, there are women of size there. Yes.
Look, in Alaska, it's cold. You need to pack on the extra flesh to.
Yeah.
Right?
If I lived in Alaska, I weigh 30 pounds more and probably never even think about my weight.
Oh my God. Look at this stinkhead. It's a fish.
What is it? Stink heads, fish heads, fish heads, roly poly.
First of all, it looks like fish that has been dead for a month. It looks like decaying fish. Tipas? Tepas.
Tapas?
No, it's T-E-P-A-S.
Tepas.
They're fermented whitefish heads.
Absolutely not.
A customary way of preparing them is to place fish heads and guts in a wooden barrel, cover it with burlap. Okay, not the 1800s.
I don't want to be insensitive to people's eating.
And bury it in the ground for a week?
That's disgusting. Absolutely not. Oh. Also, I'm offended that you would even think I would do that, whoever you are.
People also ask, what is the most disgusting food in the world? That's also searched if you search stinkheads.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not. Wait,
can you look
search
at the photo?
It. Wait, what? Why does it look? That is not a fish head. That's a dead bird. That is a bird and an egg.
Oh, swipe.
Oh my God, why did you show me that there was a dead bird and an egg?
I Google image stinkhead. What do you want
from
me?
Wait, let's click on what's the most disgusting food in the world. Oh my God, it's a picture of Dana's pussy.
This is
disgusting. Dana.
Let me see. There she is. There
she
rolls.
White ants egg soup.
Tuna eyeballs.
But it's ants as in the animal ants, not like my white ants gross egg soup, like my Aunt Cheryl.
Jellied moose nose.
Oh my God, you eat a moose nose? Why would you do that?
No, that's just the name for my pussy.
That is a great name for your pussy, actually.
Bushitang.
Moose nose.
Bushitang, Korea. What's Bushitang?
It's probably a fish head.
We should start a food podcast.
Foodcast. Pod food.
And we're naked.
Foodcast. And it's, we dissect our turds like they're owl pellets and pull out pieces of food.
Honestly, like, Bushitang. Boozintang. Looks better than fish eggs.
Stink heads?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, God. I take that back.
Don't look. Don't show me. Please don't show me.
It's a Korean soup that includes dog meat.
No. Why did you tell
me? Did you hear what I just said? I said I think it looks good.
Yeah, that's because you're a psycho.
I said it looks better.
It does actually kind of look like a good, like...
stew?
That makes me happy I gave up. Here's the thing.
On YouTube eating dog stew.
It looks like a good beef broth, and now I'm glad that I've given up eating meat.
I'm literally gagging. I'm gagging. When did you stop eating meat?
When? I've been vegan. Like, I'm in the closet about being vegan for...
Oh, same. I don't ever talk
about
it.
I'm like months... Are we even really vegan if we don't talk about it?
That's really funny. I just, if people ask me, I don't eat meat. I mean, look, maybe I'm not vegan because I do have, I'll have shrimp and salmon sometimes if I'm feeling
low.
So you're
not vegan.
I'm not anything. I just don't.
I just am. Yeah, I just got tired of eating animal products.
It makes me feel sluggish. It makes me feel sick.
Yeah, I cut it out for health reasons.
How much energy do you have?
I have an amount of energy that I feel like. My natural energy, if I'm not being brought down by like eating bad foods, is an insane amount of energy that I don't know what to do with.
Insane. Remember how many naps I used to take? Remember we went on the road and all I did was sleep?
Yeah, I don't nap anymore. I don't sleep. I also like don't eat that much, but it's like I have so much energy.
What animal products?
I'm actually looking into if anyone's listening, potential sponsors of some sort of vegan home delivery meal service, because I'm so energetic that I feel like I haven't been eating enough. And so I want to find a way to have like my daily meals delivered to me so that I know I'm getting enough nutrients.
Interesting.
Because I think I'm not.
Business plan.
So if anyone out there wants to sponsor my podcast and give me free vegan food.
Oh, this is a good question. Can you go into
detail? I'm glad I know someone who needs more vegans for a one-time show where they just only want vegans. So I'll talk to you about that off the podcast.
I feel like we've said vegans too many times and people are going to stop
listening. Vegan. This is ignorance is vegan.
Vegan. Can you go into detail in regards to what it's like when your thoughts are racing? Is it mostly verbal?
I think I've talked about that in a bonus episode or maybe.
Does saying them out loud to another person reduce the extent in which they impact you?
Yes. Okay, wait. I think I talked about that on Ari's podcast when I talked about being suicidal.
I like that question.
I have racing thoughts.
Sorry. You said suicidal and I said, I like that.
Oh,
I meant the question. I like the question.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason I do comedy and also part of the reason I talk so fucking much. I don't know how you feel, but sometimes I get overwhelmed with thoughts and it like makes me feel crazy. Cause when I talked about being suicidal on Ari Shaffir's podcast, Skeptic Tank, everyone who's listening probably already knows that's a podcast, but I talked about how I wasn't like depressed in bed and being like, I don't want to live anymore. I had racing thoughts and I couldn't turn them off and I was going crazy and I was like, I needed to fucking stop. Like it was crazy. But I've realized just in life and also doing shrooms, I process things through my mouth. It's like a filter.
Yeah, you were talking the whole time. You were tripping.
Which I'm very sorry because that's not for everybody's. I think some people don't want to do shrooms with me because I talk so much, but it's like I have a crazy tornado of thoughts in my brain and it's like I'm filtering them out of my mouth and it's like it like saying stuff out loud calm like puts it in a calm perspective for me
for sure.
It's like writing.
Yeah, it's also, do you do morning pages?
I have started, by the way, in the last week.
So helpful for you.
Oh my god, and I got one good bit out of it, like one day just turned into a full bit, then I went crazy.
No shit.
Yeah, and
you were just
I was just writing. Well, because I made the mistake.
Stream of consciousness.
Quote mistake, but I guess it's not a mistake because it's a bit I'm going to work on. But I made the mistake of looking at Twitter before I
did your morning pages.
And there were people talking about something on Twitter. And so my morning pages just became this like rant of how fucking annoyed I was. But then I was like, this is great.
That's also the point of it, though.
Exactly.
If you're a creative type and you write and do stand up and what, like,
yeah,
use all of that.
Getting those thoughts out helps. That's also the reason why, like, therapy isn't always a magic cure, but just saying things out loud.
I write better out loud when I'm talking things through.
Do you talk to yourself a lot?
Yeah, when I'm writing.
Yeah, I'm a huge talker.
And I think that's why it's like I write on stage.
Yeah.
Because when I'm performing and when I'm talking, like, things
come to me, yeah.
I don't have that ability to be like, now I'm going to sit down and write a joke. I have to be like talking it out or like moving around and stuff like that.
Yeah, something in your closet just moved, which is so weird. What? I don't know. Just like the tags fell.
A tag fell?
Well, no, like some of the clothes like moved, but I'm probably just like hitting the ground or whatever. I don't know. You live in an apartment, so someone could have stepped on the floor above you.
Oh my God. My like bodysuit was like shaking.
Yeah, that's what it was. Shake your body. Yeah, no, I talk stuff out too. So it does help. And I would say even, like, I've had this thought before and I've thought about, like, I just restarted therapy. But
you did?
I like just went back last week. Also, it was it's my therapist I was with last year.
Oh, that's
and
so
I
good.
Had quit going to her because I was overwhelmed because I had too much on my plate.
Is it the body therapy?
No, it's just regular therapy. But okay. I like that lady too. It's just too much on my plate and she's more expensive and doesn't take insurance.
I need to go back.
I had quit going because here's the thing I realized. I don't know about you. When I get overwhelmed and have too much on my plate, the first thing I cut, I don't think you do this. The first thing I cut is self-care. I think you start cutting out other shit and you're like, I got to focus on my self-care.
I don't know what
I
do.
Not that, but I think you're good at prioritizing self-care.
Oh, thank you. I try to.
Because I try to keep you in mind when I think of stuff like that. Because I'm like,
that's so sweet.
You always make sure you take time to work out. I feel like you're always journaling. And the first things that go...
You're just always journaling.
Yeah.
What's Dana doing? She's journaling.
Journaling. She's meditating.
She can't come out tonight. She's journaling.
Is she working? Probably not, but she's got a lot of journals about it. Well, no, because when I get overwhelmed, which is so easy for me, and it's like there's too much on my plate, I'm trying to spend too many things, the first thing I do is like, oh, I don't have time for my workout right now. Oh, I don't need to do morning pages. I need to immediately start sending emails.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, and so therapy was a thing where I cut it out thinking like, like, I never make time for myself. And that's the thing where I was like, I need to take care of me. Mm-hmm. And, but I noticed giving up therapy and I shouldn't say this while I'm going to a therapist, but I honestly think that a lot of what helps me in therapy, I could get accomplished if I just locked myself in my room for an hour and talked out loud to myself. Because a lot of the things you realize in therapy on your own, you just say something and then you're like, at least I do.
Somebody, here's what they're doing. They're holding space for you. You heal yourself. Every person. Yeah.
And they're a third party that isn't involved.
Every single person who's had a breakthrough or an experience or they feel healed or whatever. You did it
yourself.
You did the work.
Yeah. But somebody was there to give you permission to do it.
Yeah. My friend, she does Reiki and she's like, I never do. I just hold space for people. I'm not doing anything for them other than like being here and being present.
So she admits that Reiki's fake.
Basically.
Anyway, hire her. Let her give you space.
Anyway, she's great. Yeah. Should we move on to the next question?
Yes. Hashtag take some space.
What's the biggest challenge for you to overcome in your comedy career and what have you done to push past it? Ooh, that's good. I like that question too.
We can both answer. I don't know. I think... For me, my biggest challenge involves my ADHD. I think it's remaining focused because I'm a chronic starter and I don't finish.
Same.
And I lose interest. But also now that I'm working on my one woman show, I don't even like calling it that, but that's what it is. For Edinburgh, it's a thing I actually care about and I'm passionate about, but it's different from stand up. And I'm aware that it could, I don't know how it'll be received. So not like, I think I've slowed down at moments with it. Out of fear. Like I have to do it. If nothing else, it's an exercise in forcing me to actually finish a project that is not my regular stand up. But, the fear of, I don't know if it's a fear of failure, but maybe.
Is there a fear of not knowing the outcome?
I don't know. I also sometimes, I don't know if I feel like I genuinely don't have crazy lofty goals in terms of finance and fame when it comes to comedy, but there's a part of me
to a lot of people. I mean, are you supposed to be like, I need to be famous?
I think some people are, or they have these like, I want to have a sitcom, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I'm like, all I ever wanted was to be able to make all my money doing comedy, and now I do that, and I'm like, I guess I just want to do specials.
Time to elevate.
I want to put more goals. Things. And I don't know how much of that is just true to who I am. Or is there a deep seated. And this is the thing is other people project their shit onto you. So it's hard to tell what's real. But people will go like, I think maybe you're just afraid of success or you're afraid you won't get it. So you won't let yourself want it. And I'm like, I don't think so.
I think that's a very natural human condition, fear of failure and fear of success. I think a lot of people have that and they don't really talk about it.
Yeah. But it's like when we stop a project, when we're like working on something and then we let it like fall to the wayside, is it because we're afraid it won't work? Is it because we're is it a self-worth thing that was like, I don't deserve to like have my movie made. Oh no God. One's going to give a shit about my shit.
I think it's also, I think successful people, I don't know, this is such a generalization, but like.
That's what this podcast is all about.
You have to have self, crazy self-worth to be super successful.
Yeah.
Because you believe in yourself and love yourself. And when you do, you take all of the right actions towards getting what you want.
Yeah.
And you feel.
Because you feel like you deserve it.
If you don't feel worthy and deserving in your own self, then how would you get things career-wise? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or am I babbling?
It makes sense logically. But the way I feel internally, because I feel like my career has gone pretty well. It's not, I don't have a bunch of TV stuff, but it's.
You're doing amazing.
It could be not as far along as it is. And I'm like, well, I don't feel like I had a bunch of, you know what? I overall don't think I have high self-worth. It's definitely gotten better. But I think with comedy, comedy was the.
Has given you more self-worth.
Yeah. Because you know what? Now that I'm saying this out loud, I said this just yesterday to my friend, our friend Buddy. But.
Hi, Buddy.
Hi, Buddy.
Every time I hear that name, I think of Buddy. The elf.
Buddy the elf. Who's directing my show? Buddy the elf. the reason I think I love comedy so much and why as soon as I did it, I dove 100% in is because doing stand-up was the first time I was like, I'm worthy of this. This is a thing that makes me feel happy and alive. And I had never felt that with anything.
I had a very similar experience where I felt like this alien creature my whole life and never fit into any aspect of my life.
Yeah, like school, I was so weird, college, odd man out.
Family. I never, even with like my friend group.
Yeah.
I just never, nothing clicked. Like I was just this outsider. And after doing my first set, everything in my life, it was like a flashback from a movie where it was like, like every time I felt uncomfortable, awkward, weird, Like,
yeah.
It's like, all of that was to get me here. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it was.
This is why.
It's such a cheesy thing to say, but the.
But it's like, this is why I never
felt
fit in.
Because I wasn't doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, it's like this knowing of you're like, this is what I was born for. Or this is what I'm here.
This is what I'm here to do.
This is what this lifetime is about.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, it's cool because it's like, I feel like I'm finding my self-worth through, I think through comedy. I'm finally
same.
Like, I'm going like, okay, so I make people happy. Like people feel better when they're around
yeah,
me.
Like, and it's obviously like, I'm deserving of love. I bring something to the table.
Yeah. Like, so obviously
I have
like,
value.
I always have shit on myself so hard.
Yeah.
And I stopped doing it because I'm like, why am I like so mean to myself? Because like people don't treat me like that. Why would I treat, and I don't treat people like that.
Yeah, no, so we're so shitty to ourselves.
Why would I treat, if I was with somebody and they were treating me how I treat myself, I wouldn't be with them.
No, you'd be like, you're a fucking psycho.
So I've just been easier on myself and like more loving. And it's very interesting that like once you make that change, how different things in your life all start changing.
Yeah, things like come together in a way that, I'm not saying everything's just falling into place perfectly, but it's much less stressful. It's like I have a trusting sense that things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And finding a thing where I go, this is a thing I undeniably, I mean, my whole life I felt like I had the worst self-worth. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Just so shitty. But finding a thing where you're like, this is a thing you cannot take from me. Mm-hmm. Like of all the things, like
with comedy,
women are fucking made to feel like shit about their beauty, or they're like, do you have a husband or whatever, your weight, your face, you're gonna get old and no one will care about you. But like comedy was always a thing where I was like, I cannot be denied.
I love
that. Sounds so insane.
No, you can't.
I cannot be
I will not be denied.
I am funny and you cannot take that from me.
Next time if I ever bring you up on stage, I'm gonna say, she's funny and she cannot be denied. Can that be my intro for
and
you?
Then I get booed. I'm never allowed in that facility again.
So wait, what have you done to push past the comedy challenge?
What was the challenge? I don't even know. It was
your
my own
challenge.
I mean, I'm still trying to push past the ADHD
stuff. I feel like
stuff.
It never ends.
No, and it's
Do
just
you feel like you're. I feel like I'm constantly like
I keep coming up with tasks, like ways to control it, and you know what's held me accountable is Starting my Patreon made me more accountable for my podcast, because now I'm like, oh, it's like it's a job. I have to show up, and I'm still trying to make sure I'm even better about that. Mm-hmm. Donate, because I still don't have to do weekly podcasts technically until you guys make me reach my first goal. We're almost there, but it's made me like, oh, this is a thing I have to care about, which has made, I think, the podcast get better, and it's growing. And yeah, finding it's a challenge. I'm still constantly trying to push past that, but having the courage to go like, you're funny, or like finishing one project and going, this was a good thing I made, gives you confidence to keep making more. And so I just have to keep going.
Okay. Favorite, or most awe-inspiring thing you've heard?
Most awe-inspiring thing I've heard, ever, like in terms of life or comedy?
What comes to your mind?
I don't know. You know what really helped me with, I mean, this is so corny, and not to keep it just about comedy, and I think I've said this maybe on your podcast or on another podcast, possibly this podcast. In 2013, when I was invited to the Montreux Comedy Festival in Switzerland, awe-inspiring is not the right word. I was just going to say, Ari Shaffir really helped me when they were setting up transportation to get back to the airport, and I was talking to the woman. I was really apologetic. I was like, I think my flight's at this time, but like, if no one else is going, then I could go early if you have other people going. And he pulled me aside and was like, you are not here as an exception. Nobody is doing a favor by having you here. You are just as valid as every other performer here. You belong here, and you need to know that you are a comedian and you belong. And having someone who I look up to as a comedian
say that to you,
say that I belong, I don't know. And maybe it's not just a comedy thing. Maybe that can be included for like life, but finding a place where you feel like you belong is life changing to me. Mm-hmm. Because it goes back to what you were saying about always feeling out of place.
And I think though, if you're here,
yeah,
living and breathing, you belong.
Yeah. And I think we don't.
You deserve
you
everything you want.
Yeah, everybody does. And I feel like we don't just as humans give ourselves credit for that.
We don't.
That's like,
we don't.
We're always looking at the negative, how we're not good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I didn't get this. I didn't get that. I didn't measure up to this goal. I didn't finish my to-do list. And it's like, you are here. You belong. I don't know.
That's crazy.
What about you?
That's crazy cool.
Do you have an awe-inspiring?
I love that.
I feel like mine wasn't as like magical as it could have been, but.
No, I think it was really magical. I think an awe-inspiring thing I've heard. I love hearing stories about like people getting, if we're talking about awe-inspiring things, like people getting things that they set out to achieve.
Oh yeah.
I love hearing stories of
like herpes,
you know, like somebody getting genital warts.
No. Someday I'll have a genital wart.
But like,
yeah, getting the thing that they dreamed of getting.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you can do it. It can be done.
I don't know. I love those stories. I love like a dream realized, a dream come true.
Like that. She thought she could, so she did.
Yeah. It existed in my mind and it seemed so far out there. And everybody, you know, said I was crazy for wanting it and like said it was impossible. And then I did it. And it's like, I don't know. I love that so much.
Do people? I love that.
Because I also feel like that's another point of us being here, is creating something that doesn't exist and creating something that we want to exist.
Yeah. Like you're creating your little corner of happy that you've brought to the world.
Yeah.
Do people tell you you're crazy for your dream?
Oh, in high school, I went to an art school and they would have an assembly every year.
To tell everyone they're crazy? They're like, yeah. At an art school?
Yes.
That should be the place where they're like,
yes,
you can do art. It can be done. That's crazy to me.
I am so, that messed me up for years because I'm 16 years old. I have this dream. I feel it. I know it's going to happen. And then they bring in people who graduated and are coming from New York and LA. And they're like, we just want to be realistic for you guys. Cause all of the teachers, by the way, are teaching.
They're teachers. Yeah.
And all everyone
and those
was
who
like,
can't do teach.
Everyone was like, oh my God, LA is so hard. I have 3 jobs. I barely can get an audition. It's so hard to find an agent. And then someone's like, I just moved back from New York and I'm here to teach. And I have to, it's just so competitive and it's cost so much money to live.
So literally no art school had made it so that, or they made it so big that they wouldn't come back. Like what?
I don't know. I'm like, okay, so why are we all here doing this?
Yeah. Why are you?
But I listened to it. Do you know what I mean? Like it kind of messed me up. Like I still continued, but I also, in the back of my mind, I was doing this thing and I was going, oh, but it's impossible. But, oh, but I still want to do it. So I can't stop because I have this calling. And then I was like constantly wavering, right? In college, I did it. In college, I was like wavering, like in and out. Do I do this or do I not do this?
That's so, God, I didn't know art school. That's hilarious to me.
So we can end with fun, light questions.
Okay.
Favorite movies, TV, musicians, artists. She's going to say me. Whatever. I like the whatever part.
Favorite movies, stuff. TV. Absolute favorite movie of all time is Tommy Boy.
Oh,
I loved Chris Farley.
Tommy Boy.
Oh.
Favorite TV show? Let me try to guess that one for you. Is it a comedy? Favorite TV show?
I mean,
is it a cartoon?
Sort of.
Yeah. South Park?
No, but no. I love South Park.
The other one.
My favorite TV show of all time is Fraggle Rock, but that's very childish.
I never would have guessed
that. I really like Arrested Development. I
was going to say Arrested Development.
Yeah, but like my favorite all time, and I think it's nostalgia. Like I think if I watched Fraggle Rock now, I'd be like, all right, well, this is definitely a kid's show.
Favorite character on Arrested Development?
Oh, it's hard. I love Job. He's so hated. Tobias. Tobias. 100% Tobias. And also, just side note, when people ask me...
I love the drunk mom.
I think I said this in a meeting recently where I was with someone. I don't know if I should have said this. Oh, the drunk mom's great.
She's so fucking mean.
It's not a secret that I'm not like super like into acting. I like to do it. I like to do silly characters, but that's never been my main focus.
Yeah.
I would love to play a character like Tobias on a TV show.
Oh my God, you would knock that out of the park.
Like, okay, so how Steve Buscemi was in all of the Adam Sandler movies, just as a side part, like he's the homeless guy in Big Daddy, or when you watch Billy Madison, he's the guy that shows up at the end and like shoots everyone or shoots the guy and he like puts the lipstick on his face and like crosses the lipstick. Like that, Steve Buscemi in Happy Madison Genius. Productions.
Genius.
That those kind of parts are like my jam. I would love to just do that and
I see you like with that like Kristen Wiig type wig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When she has the forehead.
Oh, and she's the ugly sister?
When she's the ugly sister, like I see
all
you,
the time.
I see you bald, like having
that's
a wig.
That's because I'm balding. Dana, you're just looking at me. I'm like, Dana, that is just what I look like.
No. Where it goes all the way back and then you have like short hair that's like a Cabbage Patch doll that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have big glasses and you're like the fucking psycho weird, but crazy. You're like Buck Lady.
Yeah.
The vines that we used to do.
No, my dream is like as far as quote making in comedy, I think the most fame I would like to achieve is have people go like, wait a second. Like when
her?
They see me, they're like, how do I know her?
Wait,
and then
she
later they're
out
like
of the trash.
I think
the
she's
dumpster lady.
But they're like, no, because I look sort of different in real life. And they're like, isn't that the dumpster lady from those Dana Moon movies or whatever? Whereas like other people are the centerpiece and I'm just like the weird lady that like bit someone in a restaurant.
Oh my God, I want to direct.
Final. Let's do it.
Directing is definitely where
you want your career to go eventually.
Yeah. After acting.
You
want to
like,
sure.
You think you eventually like you want to have a good acting career and then eventually quit and just direct other people?
1000%.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. But I want to be in front of the camera and I want to perform for to have that level of like
knowledge. I'm burping in the microphone.
I know how to. I mean,
ew,
also
Dana.
I love performing, but like
you.
Shut up. Being able, a director who's acted knows how to speak to actors.
They know how to speak to, they know how to say it in a way that actors can take
the
note.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I definitely see like 30s acting, 40s directing.
Yeah. I could see you as a great director.
Yeah. I just feel it. It's weird. I really feel it.
You were always great at directing mine.
Hey, remember those 6-second videos?
Yeah.
You were so good at directing 6 seconds.
Yeah, but you, that's a skill. I mean, it's the same as like some people can crush a headlining set and then if you ask them to do 5 minutes, it's like, this is weird and uncomfortable. Like, oh, it's just, it is a specific skill.
I'm sorry, but if you give me 3 minutes on stage, I lose my mind and I try to be as funny as possible and I'm not, I don't connect. I like spiral a little bit.
Yeah. I don't have that problem, skill. But it's, I'm just kidding.
3 minutes is
it's two different muscles. It's sprinting versus running a marathon.
I gotta change my
sprints.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to talk about on my new podcast? On my the 50th episode of my podcast?
You guys, we made it to 50. That's huge. It only took us over a year because I don't do them weekly because it's hard. It's so hard.
Girl.
Thank you guys for sticking with me this far. And I'm excited for bigger and better podcasts. Dana, do you want to plug anything? I mean, I feel like everyone knows where to find me.
Yeah. At Dana Moon Me. At Dana Michelle Singleton Comedy.
Shut the fuck up. You guys also tweet at Netflix and watch Dana on Nailed It and tweet at Netflix and tell them how much you love Dana and that she should have her own show.
I should have my own show on
Netflix. She fucking crushed it on there.